What is up? You are probably confused with why we aren't doing Siamese Dream right now.
Life deals out tricky hands.
Yes, yeah, we did experience some technical difficulties with that, and we are...
That's one way to phrase it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we are... We're probably going to do it next week.
Yeah.
So we are just making this video to tide you over for next week. And this is basically going to be a episode of battles. Just this is probably going to be the final couple of battles we do. And I hope it's going to be fun. But no before way. We get into that, two big superstars had their birthdays recently. Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers recently turned 58. Which is crazy to me. And Eminem recently turned 48.
Wait, Flea is 58 years old.
Yeah, he's 58. And he's still jumping around like that.
Wow. He doesn't look it.
No.
Which is strange considering how some people look in his lifestyle.
Right, you would assume. But dude, he's out there in California, man. He probably gets up, goes, I assume he's a surfer? I don't know why I assume that.
It feels like it would fit him.
Maybe because Kiedis was in Point Break. I don't know. But for whatever reason, and he doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. And he like, when he's on stage.
I don't think he's ever had an ounce of fat on him.
He's a jump up and down kind of guy. You know what I mean?
If you do that over and over, you just keep doing it. Yeah,
he's probably out
there.
Body
in motion and all that.
Yeah, I also, of course, Flea, probably one of the most well-known bassists ever. And Eminem, probably, I think he is the best-selling rapper ever. I don't know if...
As far... That could be, like...
Yeah. I mean,
could
it be depends
true.
On your... Yeah.
Because they kind of quit... They kind of quit buying records fairly recently.
At least
so.
Best-selling male hip-hop artist.
That's the thing with facts like that. Is like, dog, people stream music nowadays. I haven't bought an album in years and years.
Well, that's the tricky thing, too. Like, okay, so they were like, you know, Michael Jackson's Thriller had so many top 10 hits, right? And then Post Malone puts out a record in 8 tracks, chart in the top 10 the first week. Well, that's a little different because Thriller was a big deal over like 2 years of singles going into the top 10. Whereas Post Malone, you know, 2 weeks later, he may not have had a song in the top 10. You know what I mean? But he charts, and it happens a lot. If somebody releases a big album, and every record will chart. Every song on it will chart in the top 20, top 25.
Oh,
top
yeah, absolutely. 10.
You know what I mean? So... The way they count it's different. It's funny. Skid Row, some people think it's an obscure band, but whatever. Skid Row winds up debuting a record called Slave to the Grind at number one, and it was like the first hard rock heavy metal record to debut first week at number one. The trick to that was that they had changed the way they counted record sales the week before. So literally it was the first, and they just happened to be releasing their album when the game was changed on how you accumulate numbers. Boom, number one.
Easy.
It's crazy. Okay.
If it makes you go any crazier, Anthony Kiedis is also 57.
Right.
And Chad Boswick is 58 and John Frusciante is 50.
You don't think about it like that, but Mother's Milk wasn't like that was before Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and that was you know, like that wasn't their first delve into it. And they bounced around the clubs a little before that. So, but anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, we're
ready
gonna,
to do the
battles. Yeah, let's get into the battles.
Get into
what
the
is
core
your what
of
is your what is the first battle that you choose?
All right, I was given a list by the Go Home Heat kid here, Ray.
You also helped on this list a lot.
I actually didn't.
Yes,
help
you did
at all. I'm the first I've seen of this.
We did. No, it is absolutely not okay.
Kanye West versus Kendrick Lamar.
Woof, huh? Woof.
Oh, we're starting out with a tough one.
Woof. Dang. That's so hard. Because, I mean, Kanye's... I really, really, really like several of Kanye's albums. Stuff like College Dropout, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Late Registration's... I think.
Late Registration. I mean, dude, he has put out...
I even like 808s and Heartbreak.
Heartbreak is quite
good. As much as that is a very divisive album in his career.
I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's, like, great, but...
I do think...
But, like, every single Kendrick album I've listened to has been, like, at least an 8 out of 10.
That's always tricky, right? Like, how do you measure...
Well, Kanye has almost 20 years of work put in. And it's hard to...
And the last four have been not very good.
What do you mean by last four? Do you mean yay? Are we counting Kids See Ghosts?
Ooh, that does change it up a bit. That is a collaboration project, but I feel like it has more Kanye than it does Kid Cudi. I'll say that much.
That's tough. That is a question you wind up getting, though, is how do you compare this band that never did anything I didn't like, but the body of work is... Like, when Kanye was Kendrick's age, he hadn't done anything he didn't like either. You know what I mean? But then,
valid point.
As you continue to create art, at some point you expand and things do things for your palate, some things don't do things for your palate, right?
Yeah,
so it's always a tricky thing. Like, what's more important?
I do feel like, to me, the borderline for Kanye's work, start at College Dropout, end at Life of Pablo.
Yeah.
And then do Kids See Ghosts. I don't necessarily love Ye. I think Jesus is King is actually probably Kanye's worst record. It's probably like a 3 or 4.
Oof.
As of right now, in this day and age, I'll probably go with Kendrick. Just in this day of age. Because I do think To Pimp a Butterfly is probably the best album out of these two.
I would say that To Pimp a Butterfly is the best album out of both of these artists. So I would give the edge slightly to Kendrick.
Slightly.
What do you do with... Didn't he put together the Black Panther soundtrack?
Yes, I know he had a couple songs and he had a lot of input into it.
I thought he produced the record itself. Like, not every track on the record, but he's the guy who figured out what song goes on and all that other stuff.
I imagine that he would.
If I remember correctly, yeah.
But although I don't know that you can give him... Like, if you give him credit for that, then you got to give Kanye credit for some of the Jay-Z stuff he put out.
Yeah, that's true.
And if we're giving Kanye credit for Jay-Z, then it's Kanye.
What about Jay-Z and Kanye's album together?
Watch the Throne?
I'm not the biggest fan of Watch the Throne.
I really like specific songs off Watch the Throne, but it's not an album I go out of my way to listen to.
Right.
Stuff like Otis with Otis Redding, dude, that song slaps.
Right. I'd take West.
The one about them being in Paris?
Yes.
I'd take yes. West, but, I mean, this is the kind of thing you can revisit as more
Absolutely.
Work is
oh,
put
dude,
in.
Yeah,
you know?
As time okay. goes
Absolutely.
On.
Kendrick's new album is, some songs have been leaked.
How have they really?
Yes, yeah, so some of them. I remember one of them was. I don't know if it's been taken down yet.
Probably.
But yeah, it and I heard it. It was really good.
Dude, if he puts out like another incredible album, it would be. Dude, I'm so excited for it. That's a project that I'm really looking forward to.
All right, let's move on to Dr. Dre versus Snoop Dogg. Dre, who found Snoop Dogg. And brought him to you, produced the music that Snoop rapped over for a long time.
Yeah, all right, I think I can do this. We didn't do the all in favor, say I thing, because that was, the last one was kind of one you need to think, really ponder over.
Yeah.
So are we going to do the...
Okay, all in favor of Dre, say...
I.
I'm not wicked familiar with either of these guys, but from what I've listened to, I've liked Dre considerably more than Snoop Dogg.
I think Snoop Dogg... has Snoop Dogg's debut album is in fact one of the best debut albums in hip hop, and he has produced very iconic songs. Well, produced, but I don't really like anything after that, and I think that's kind of my problem with Snoop. And it's like, you know, I feel like Dre had a bigger impact on hip hop. In general, what would you go for?
This is tricky too, though, right? Because what's the coolest part of the Chronic? Snoop Dogg.
Valid point.
What's the coolest part of Snoop Dogg's record? The beats. They're Dre's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's tricky, right? Yeah. It's tricky because their careers overlap so much.
Yeah.
I would say that you can... You know, you can, anybody in the world can say, okay, I want to put something out, Snoop, will you rap on this track? You're not going to ask Dre to rap on any track unless you're Eminem.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know if Snoop Dogg has ever said, I don't care how much you pay me. I'm not being on that.
Right.
Dude went on a Corey Feldman song.
Yeah, dude was straight up on Angelic to the Core.
Right. So I would probably... I want to hear
Snoop Dogg utter those words once. I don't care how much you pay me.
I would probably go Dre, but I'm factoring in the fact...
Yes.
...that Snoop was a Dre project. You know? And also, I mean, you have to give Dre some credit for Eminem's career too, which we've already mentioned was pretty prolific.
And again, what you were saying about the impact, yeah, it's absolutely Dre. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely. Okay, this is one for probably more my generation. Van Halen versus Aerosmith.
I think this is one we have done before, but I think it is one we can honor back to, and I think one that is fairly interesting.
All in favor of VH?
Aye.
Aerosmith. I think I said I last time.
You said I last time too. Yeah. My problem with, I do have a very specific problem with Aerosmith, is that they do have a problem where they put out one good album, and then they have a long stretch of boring albums, and then they put out one really good album, and then they have another long stretch, and then it's just kind of a never-ending circle where it's just like... But absolutely, I understand why you'd go Aerosmith, because they've survived so many generations. But I feel like Van Halen, for me, I think I've heard every song off of Van Halen 1 before I listened to it. And that might be because of what you played on the radio when I was younger.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like I have more of a connection to Van Halen stuff than Aerosmith's stuff. And I'm not saying that Aerosmith isn't a great band, because they absolutely are, but...
Overall, you go with Van Halen. That's fair.
Dad, what is your argument?
Well, I'm looking at the discography here of Aerosmith, and I'm trying to find those records that you said sucked.
Just Push Play, Honkin' on Bobo, it's more of a...
So you're talking about the records, Music from Another Dimension. So you're talking about the three records they put out after Van Halen was no longer making music.
Nine Lives, A Little South Vicinity, Just Push Play, Honkin' on Bobo, Music from Another Dimension.
Get a Grip's a banger, Pump's a banger, Permanent Vacation's a banger.
Permanent Vacation.
Rockin' a Hard Place is a banger. Night in the Ruts is a banger. Draw the Line, banger. Rocks, banger. Toys in the Attic, banger. Get Your Wings, banger. Aerosmith, banger. So there's four other records.
So why aren't you saying anything about Just Push Play? Come on now.
I'm just saying. Just Push Play
is abysmal.
Again, though, you're talking about 73, and that was, 2004? So 30 years in. And Aerosmith and Van Halen's not even putting out music anymore. I didn't hear you mention that last record they did with David Lee Roth or Van Halen 3. Both of which are the worst records either one of these two put out.
Van Halen 3, it's a battle between Van Halen 3 and Just Push Play for me. I think Van Halen 3 is a little worse.
I don't even know how I raised you. I don't get it.
I think, because Van Halen 3, here's the thing with Van Halen 3, it's all of this abysmalness packed into one record. Mm-hmm. But with Aerosmith, it's just that late 90s period. It's just so drawn out and boring and so bad. Pink is the worst song either of these bands made. Absolutely. No, absolutely, dude.
It's not.
It's also the worst music video either of these bands made.
Two thirds of Van Halen 3. But anyway, so we've stated our case here. Madonna versus Janet Jackson. Come on. All in favor of Madonna.
Oof.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson.
Aye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What, do we got an argument?
I don't really think I need an argument.
I've never been the
Wait,
biggest
now
fan.
Hold on.
I've never
Y'all are acting like Madonna didn't dominate the radio for
100%.
20 Absolutely. Years.
100% and with good reason.
There are some Madonna songs. There are some Madonna songs that I have enjoyed before.
Again, though,
I have loved more Janet Jackson songs.
I feel like you're judging Madonna based on the fact that her career continued. I don't know that it's fair that we're going to continue.
I mean, that might be her biggest problem.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that might honestly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would probably vote for Janet too, but I just.
Wait, if you vote for Janet.
I'm just saying, Madonna's pretty dang good, man.
Madonna.
Madonna was very good at presentation. She figured out how she could be a big star, and she managed to put out hit after hit after hit after hit. Janet did the same thing, but Janet is, to me, a little smoother. And I do like Janet's, like, I've listened to or owned multiple records Janet had, whereas I don't know that I've had anything other than, I think somewhere along the line I had access to the Immaculate Collection by Madonna, which is a greatest hits package, which isn't fair. Okay. A Tribe Called Quest versus Outkast.
Oh, good Lord.
Pick between your favorite children.
Again, I'm not like super, super duper familiar with either band. I've listened to probably definitely more Outkast than I have Tribe Called Quest, but I really liked Low End Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Low End Theory is a phenomenal album.
Yes.
But Outkast, man.
Hold on. Let's go. Should we do the eye thing?
All in favor of A Tribe Called Quest. All in favor of Outkast. Okay.
I might have a bit of a southern bias there, but
I just
Outkast are so freaking good.
Oh, dude.
Just those three classics, Aquemini, AT Aliens, and Stankonia. Just those three classics.
Outkast music is etched into history,
and that's,
and as much as people want to sleep on speaker box and low end in a
Southern Cadillac.
No.
Southern Cadillac's great too.
I
can never
Speaker Box and The Love Below being like two different solo albums, right? Still, there were hits on both of those.
Oh, Hey Ya, dude, Hey Ya,
Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture. Come on, man. I love A Tribe Called Quest, but I don't know that there's anything in the hip hop genre that I like as much as
Outkast.
Andre is.
Dude, I don't know if there's anything I love. Dude, I don't know if there's anything in music that I love more than Outkast.
I get that.
Like, they're totally in my top three favorite music groups ever.
I remember I had an argument with a guy, and it was maybe the smartest thing the guy's ever said. We're sitting around talking, and I was totally wrong because he goes, "Who's the greatest band ever?" And, you know, somebody named Zeppelin, somebody named Stone, somebody named Beatles, whatever. He said Outkast. And they were like, "What are you talking about?" We all were, "What are you talking about?" Blew him off. And he goes, "Well, look, man, all I know is whenever I put on an Outkast record, I don't skip over anything. And I can't really judge anything better than that." And I was like, and at that point, they were five albums in or four albums in. You know what I mean? It's like it wasn't two albums in, right? And so at some point, you have to acknowledge that that transcends a genre and just becomes greatness, right? And you, like we said, you said Andre may be top five guys on the mic ever.
How much better is Andre than Big Boy?
And I said, I'm not sure he's better than Big Boy, and I'm not saying you're wrong. They're just really great, and the beats they have are always great. They do, if you're Southern, of course, it does give you a little bit of a feeling like maybe you're in on the joke more than other people with the grits and stuff, but still, it's amazing. Okay, let's, and that's a tough one, though. I mean, The Tribe Called Quest is amazing.
The Low End Theory is my most played hip-hop album ever, which is why that really struck a chord with me.
Stone Temple Pilots versus the Smashing Pumpkins. A prep for next week. Yes. All in favor of Stone Temple Pilots.
I'll fight this battle.
Very tentative I.
This is tough for me. Mostly because you said I for Smashing Pumpkins, right?
I didn't.
You didn't? Okay. All for Smashing Pumpkins say I. All for Stone Temple Pilots say I.
I.
Huh.
I like the Smashing Pumpkins. They're really, really good. I really enjoy them.
I think Corgan is a better songwriter than anyone in the Stone Temple Pilots, and I think Siamese Dream is one of the best albums to come out of the grunge era, period, if it is grunge. I don't... It's kind of a grunge shoegaze thing. It's kind of... It's tough to really pin down Smashing Pumpkins to a genre, but grunge adjacent. Same with Stone Temple Pilots. Like, they're kind of grunge with psychedelic stuff and all this stuff, and I just... Scott's voice is so good. Interstate Love Song, Big Empty, all of these hits. Interstate Love Song especially, that is just ingrained into everything. I remember you told me the story where you went to a Hootie and the Blowfish concert, and they covered Interstate Love Song. And didn't you...
He said.
Yeah, he said.
The lead singer.
I forget his name, but
he
says that
Darius Rucker said to the crowd,
I should have known that.
That I believe this is the greatest song of the 90s and cut into Interstate Love Song. You know what I mean? And they had a couple of songs that people would argue. I mean, they had an album there. It's funny. Hootie's funny because they were interviewing the guitarist and they said, What did Cracked Rear View do for y'all? And he said, well, it means we can always travel the world because it outsold like the White Album.
Yeah.
You know? You know? So no matter what, we can always tour. You know what I mean? No matter what, we got that far.
It's, and to me, it just, Stone Temple Pilots, personally, with me, strikes a great chord. And I just, those first two albums, Purple and Core, those are classics.
Absolutely. I get it. I get it. Like I said, I really like Billy Corgan. I like Gish. I like Siamese Dream. I like
90 Smashing Melancholy. Pumpkins. Great.
I like Ava Doerr. I don't have a problem with any of the stuff he put out later.
I have a problem with any of the stuff he put out later. But, which might be my biggest thing, is that they tried to do this weird kind of... do you want to
go ahead.
They tried to do this weird, like, disco-ish thing, and it's like Billy Corgan's voice does not fit it at all. Because he's a very nasally singer, and it works with the original stuff because his voice kind of does sound a little bit like recalling a memory or a dream, but it's just, what are you doing, dude? And his songwriting also de-evolved and all this stuff, and it's just like, okay.
Scott Weiland is very good, including the Velvet Revolver stuff that he did. Is very good at combining rock music, hard rock music,
and psychedelic stuff, right? And
also some pop sensibilities to
pop
it.
Pop sensibilities.
You can hum to it. It's easy to listen to. Every album, it rocks. He's very good.
They got hooks for days. Like,
yeah, he's very, very good. Oh, Alice in Chains versus Pearl Jam.
Okay. All for Alice in Chains, say aye.
Aye.
All for Pearl Jam, say aye.
I don't know that much about Alice in Chains, so I'll pick Pearl Jam.
Cool.
I just really like everything I've listened to.
Pearl Jam. Dude, this is two powerhouse catalogs. Pearl Jam is still putting out good music. You know what I mean? And Alice, I like the new Alice stuff. I know Ray doesn't care for it.
I don't particularly care for it. I didn't even particularly care for the latest Pearl Jam record.
And some of you may not know this. Alice in Chains is actually still putting out music.
Yeah, they got a new lead singer. I think my main problem with it is that it's just like, naturally, because their name is Alice in Chains, you compare them to the 90s stuff. And their 90s stuff is Facelift, Dirt, Jar of Flies, and self-titled, and they probably have the best MTV Unplugged ever, just straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, there's so much.
They don't, because it's Aerosmith. But go ahead.
It is.
Yes.
Aerosmith had an MTV Unplugged.
Yes, they sure did.
How are you gonna do an MTV Unplugged of Walk This Way? But
I'd love to see Steven Tyler with like an acoustic guitar.
He also he also plays piano.
Ooh. Yeah,
cool.
I believe
that. Just Alice in Chains.
And drums, by the way. If you ever watch
it. So he's like Prince.
Like Prince. If you
totally
like,
exactly.
When they did Pump, they
it's
did
like a white Prince.
When they did Pump, they did a making of the album. And it was neat because you always wonder how guys make albums, right? And you have Joe Perry just playing guitar. And then you have Steven walking around a room playing the other instruments, figuring out how it all goes. Now the other two guys write as well, Hamilton and so, but still, it was kind of neat to see Steven go play on the drum for a minute. And, okay, that works, and then go back over to piano for a minute. Okay, that worked. You know, it was kind of neat to watch him do it. Absolutely. But anyway, the highs are higher with Alice in Chains to me, and I love yes. Pearl Jam's catalog. But it's just, and I don't all. I tend to be more of a career longevity guy, but in this case, it's not like we're talking about. Dude, Alice in Chains highs are really, really high.
Alice in Chains highs are probably the highest grunge could offer.
They're really good. And again, you're talking about tour de force musicians and performers all over the place.
Dude, Jerry Cantrell might be the best guitarist out of that generation.
Okay. Prince versus Michael Jackson.
A classic. Prince MJ. All right. All for Prince, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Wow. All for Michael Jackson, say aye.
That's crazy.
Prince just had more longevity, just in general. I feel like there's more to dive in with Prince.
I still, not any knock on MJ. MJ has put out some absolutely unbelievably popular and phenomenal stuff, but like Prince's music, I just like listening to more. I feel like I get more out of it than Michael's stuff.
And as Michael does have Man in the Mirror, he has a couple of those. Prince has a lot of Man in the Mirrors.
Prince has albums.
Yeah.
Man in the Mirrors.
Right.
Which is my kind of reckoning for that is like everything I've listened to by Prince has been just fun to listen to over and over.
Right.
Just the y'all talent. Go ahead.
I do have, people might be scared because I was the one who chose, I'm almost 100% sure and that somebody has totally listen to this podcast and went, oh, that guy hates Prince. I don't hate Prince. because I said Bowie was better. And it's like, absolutely not. I love Prince.
Well, that's kind of why I want to, whenever we pick something other than, if we all join in, I do want to kind of defend the other person. Because first of all, you're not, if it's a battle, you wouldn't even be bringing it up if you didn't think there was something comparable,
absolutely.
Right? There wouldn't be in a conversation if they're not great.
Thriller kind of is one of the greatest albums ever made. Bad is one of the greatest albums ever made. Wall is one of the greatest albums ever made. Off the Wall, sorry, is one of the greatest albums ever made.
The Wall, I mean, is also...
The Wall by Michael Jackson.
Yeah, wait, hey, wait a second.
All right, why don't we wrap this up with an album comparison? Are we ready?
An album comparison? All right.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1, versus Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2.
Yes, the soundtracks to those.
Now, if you've seen these movies, Volume 1 is Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede, Go All the Way by the Raspberries, Spirit in the Sky, Norman Greenbaum, Moon Age Daydream, David Bowie, sorry about that, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, Elvin Bishop, I'm Not in Love, 10cc, I Want You Back, the Jackson 5, Come On and Get Your Love by Redbone, Cherry Bomb by the Runaways, Escape, The Pina Colada Song by Rupert Holmes. Ooh, Child by the... I had to stop myself from singing that one, by the way.
Oh, it's so easy.
By the Five Stair Steps. And Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Volume 2, Mr. Blue Sky.
Electric, Fox on the Run, Lakeshore Drive, The Chain by Allison... By
Fleetwood
Alice
Mac.
Alice and the Chain.
Fleetwood Mac. Bring It On Home to Me by Sam Cooke. Southern Nights by Glenn Campbell. My Sweet Lord, George Harrison, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by Looking Glass. Come a Little Bit Closer, Jay and the Americans, Wham, Bam, Shangalang, Silver, Surrender, Cheap Trick, Father and Son, Cat Stevens, Flashlight, Parliament. All right, what do we think?
I'm going one.
Dude, this is, it's so hard.
I feel
what
like
a,
every,
what a great couple of records.
Yeah, good Lord. What a collection of music.
Yes.
On both of these.
Mm-hmm.
I might overall give the Edge 2-1 soundtrack. I had like a CD of it that I just listened to constantly while delivering pizza. So I've heard every song on this album hundreds of times at this point. But dude, 2, I will say, has some extremely high highs.
Dude.
Mr. Blue Sky. I mean, come on.
Dude. And this, the scene of Come a Little Bit Closer... The scene in the movie where he's whistling and he's in the little, I don't know what you call it, but the little feather thing that he actually runs through people's heads to kill them.
Yeah.
that scene is so amazing, and with that song playing during it is just off the chain.
I will make an argument that 2 has the better soundtrack for the movie and has better usage of the songs in the movie. I'll say that much.
Dude, Mr. Blue Sky, when he's dancing while Batista's inside the monster, Batista comes out and thinks he actually fought his way out when in reality that's not what happened at all. Oh.
Dude, I mean...
Oh, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Literally, where he walks
in... That's the core of the story.
Yes. Oh, man. I mean, stuff like... Again, I think 2 has better overall usage of the soundtrack.
Right. Whereas...
But, Garin, I think 1 is the better soundtrack.
I mean, every song on 1 is, like, emotional and powerful and fun. It's just great to listen to.
Well, and you have, like, Go All the Way by the Raspberries. It's like... kind of the beginning of the turn of rock and roll, and like Cherry Bomb is like the first time like girls played rock and it was like rock and it was like punk rock, you know what I mean? Like these are big moments. Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, like in music history. Ooh Child is like protest style. There's a Future Out There for You from the civil rights movement, you know what I mean? Like these songs are huge in time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which is crazy too. I Want You Back, the beginning of Michael Jackson. You know, that's pretty big deal.
Okay, but consider this. Flashlight by Parliament.
Boom.
That's all I gotta say.
Boom.
That's
sweet too. Yeah. Okay, so we all agree.
1
is the better soundtrack, but 2 is better for the movie. Like Jared said.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, what have we been listening to, guys?
What have we been listening to? I did recently check out that new Kanye. It is the worst song he has ever made. Point blank, period. Even, it's worse than Drunken Hot Girls, worse than Barry Bonds, worse than anything off of Jesus Is King. It might not be as bad as Closed on Sunday, You're My Chick-fil-A, but
like... That line's so corny. I can't get over, dude. It's like a parody of Kanye. That line is, it's so funny. It's endlessly funny to me.
I just can't. It's like really off kilter and weird. I think it set off my fight or flight, and I
was like, oh god.
It's bad. It's bad. Bad.
Stevie Wonder released 2 songs this week. Can't Put It on the Hands of Fate with Rhapsody. Corday, Chica, and I could have pronounced all of that wrong, and Busta Rhymes rapping over it. Listen to that on the way home. It was good. I love to hear Busta whenever he gives us a chance. Also, he released Where Is Our Love with Gary Clark Jr., and it is very good. It's Neil Young released a track, and Struts released a full album that had Robbie Williams, Phil Collins and Joe Elliott play on 2 tracks, and Tommy Morello plays on a track on that record. If you like their kind of glam rock throwback style
music. I'm not the biggest fan of hair metal. just in general.
It's not hair metal. It's glam.
Glam. Glam's different. What's the difference?
T-Rex is glam. Glam's from the 70s. David Bowie's glam.
All right.
Hair metal would be Winger. Big difference.
Probably the
big
worst
difference between Rock and Roll Hall of Fame bands and not Rock and Roll Hall of Fame bands.
Are you saying that Winger is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band?
No, T-Rex and David Bowie.
I don't know if you're making a joke there or like, but Dorian Electra recently released their new album.
I love Dorian Electra so much. I haven't actually listened to it yet, but I am super hyped for that because Dorian Electra, they are just so good. Just their aesthetics that they go for in their music videos, their collaboration with Rebecca Black was hilarious and
out of nowhere too.
Out of Rebecca Black of all people is just a wild choice, but I think that they did a really good job. So I'm excited to listen to that album.
Yeah, I did end up listening to. Some Daft Punk, because I just remembered that, because we did the battles thing, I remember that we did one with Daft Punk, and I said, I don't know if Daft Punk are really better than the other band. I don't remember who they were. And,
what band was it?
It was Gorillaz.
Gorillaz, yeah.
Gorillaz. I was kind of questioning myself there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to question myself again. I freaking love Daft Punk.
Dude, Daft Punk has some incredible stuff.
Homework, everything from Homework to Random Access Memories to Alive 2007, it's all gold.
Yes, 100%.
Especially Discovery. But I have yes, I did go on a little Clash thing. I listened to London Calling. And yes.
I'm listening.
I listened to London Calling. It's probably the greatest punk album ever made, arguably.
It's not punk.
It's not.
It's just rock, man. It's just rock, man. There's two kind of musics, Ray. There's two kind of music, man.
Good music and punk music. It's
good music and bad music.
Oh.
Whoa. That's good music. Oops.
Yeah, it's... London Calling's one of the greatest rock albums ever made.
I would say.
I think
they got like three of them.
Yeah.
At least two of them, yeah. Combat Rock's up there pretty good. People sleep on Combat Rock. Dude, I just realized that like we talked about Madonna and Janet Jackson and never mentioned Janet Jackson, so I pulled up the Control album. That album has Control, Nasty, What Have You Done For Me Lately, The Pleasure Principle, and Let's Wait a While on it. Just bangers.
God, I wonder why I picked Janet Jackson.
Woo! And if you ain't ever heard That's the Way Love Goes, come on.
But yeah, a lot of good music comes out just all the time.
Yeah, you gotta look for it, and you gotta be willing to check out some new stuff.
I did check out some of the new Linkin Park B-sides. They just kind of made me want to listen to the album.
Yeah.
Because that's just kind of what B-sides do most of the time.
Yeah, where I'm just like, man, I feel like they cut these songs for a reason, and the vibe was captured way better on the album.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There are a couple demos, and there's some live stuff that I really liked.
Janet has a song with Q-Tip and Joni Mitchell on the Velvet,
all right, yes.
Velvet Rope
album.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
I do have a couple older recommendations for like a jazz fusion album. Jiro Inagaki and Soul Media's 1975 album, Funky Stuff. It's really, really good. You could check out any of Jiro Inagaki's stuff. And also, let me find it. Neil Ardley's Harmony of the Spheres was also phenomenal. Jazz fusion albums, you can throw it on in the background when you're doing something else. Just vibe.
Jazz fusion's awesome.
I did.
You know what else is awesome?
What?
Escapade. Let's have a good time.
You're right.
Leave our worries behind.
Actually, this week, my mom played a lot of Jack White stuff, just in general. White Stripes, Solo, Raconteurs, if that's how you call them.
The Raconteurs.
Raconteurs. Yeah, that's pretty good, too. White Stripes.
It's all for
incredible.
You.
Jack White.
Dude, Boarding House Reach is awesome. Check out Boarding House Reach by Jack White.
Check out every Jack White solo album.
Everything Jack White's ever doing. Dive into it.
Everything. Even the acoustic recordings.
He's just one of those dudes who's just mega talented.
Awesome.
He's super ambitious, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Is that a rap?
That's probably a rap, yeah.
That is a rap.
Four?
Jared, that's me.
And?
KP.
And, of course, me. Next time, we will end up giving you Siamese Dream by the Smashing Pumpkins. We will see you next time around Halloween, right?
Yeah. Yes. Go Home Heat Production, Home copyright Heat. 2020.
Pumpkins for Halloween.
Smashing. Pumpkins.
Yeah.
See, because it's like...
Like pumpkins?
Yeah, but you're smashing them.
Yeah, well,
you know, smashing pumpkins
it's
like is like
hard and soft all at the same time.
Smashing pumpkins so is dumb. Like riding a bike.
Yin yang.
You fall off and
yin yang.
Yeah.
Twins.